Good afternoon. I'm sorry, President Preckwinkle's in the room. Good afternoon. Okay. Thank you. I'm Dan Gibbons from the City Club of Chicago, as I mentioned, and thank you very much. It's an honor to have you all here today. It's an incredible group of people, and no animals. I have a little bit of preview of what's coming because these slides are lined up here. So I'm going to make sure I sit down and see this because the photography alone is incredible. I think we're going to have to take a field trip to the zoo after our program. How about that? A City Club field trip? And then we'll stop at the Lincoln Park Zoo, and then we'll stop at the Shed, and then we'll stop at the Field Museum. In fact, the CEO of the Field Museum is here. Julian Siggers is here in the back. And he agreed to come and speak when we can make that happen. So we look forward very much to that. And thanks, Francie Harrington, for making sure that we figured that out. As I always like to mention, we have a great mix of Chicago movers and shakers, you know, the people who make this city work. It's elected officials and business leaders and civic leaders and philanthropic leaders and all the above and community leaders. We like to say that this is Chicago's most accessible club, and you come in this room and you're on a level playing field. No matter where you work, who you work for, or who you're in charge of, you come here and everyone's approachable and everyone is able to move their goals forward, whether it's business, which is great, or fundraising, or community organizing, or maybe getting a few votes. All that stuff happens here at City Club. We're non-biased, we're non-partisan, but we let you all do your thing, and we've got these amazing people in this room. So I always like to take a minute, and please hold your applause, just because there's a whole host of great people. That's a sampling of who's here. We've got Commissioner Tara Stamps and Commissioner Frank Aguilar from Cook County, Cook County Board Commissioners. Brenda Bowie from the Chicago Public Library Foundation is here, as is her chair, the one and only Bob Wislow. I'm going to accept a quick pause for applause for Bob Wislow. Definition of a Chicago civic leader, chairman of Chicago Public Library Foundation, and pretty much of Chicago. Matt Gams, I believe, is here from Wintrust. Does so much for the Chicago Fire Department Foundation, and Joe Guaguar from Wintrust Bankers. Josh Hale is here from Big Shoulders. And with him is Diane Asprey. She is the principal of St. Philip Neri, who has helped turn that school around into an incredible story. So many great business folks. Ellie Foreman, where are you? And JD and Travis from Ferrara. They're great City Club supporters, and we always appreciate having them in the room. Chuck Katz is here. Chuck, where are you? It's been a while. I mentioned Navy Pier. Adele Simmons, thank you for all you've done over so many years in Chicago. These are the people that, as I said, make things happen in Chicago, and you all are too, especially the next generation of folks. There are so many of you in this room that I see on a regular basis. Welcome back, and please keep coming, because this is where things happen. I'm going to mention one other person, and she's sort of a definition of another, like Bob Wislow, a kind of model civic business leader, and her name is Cheryl Thomas. So many of you know her because she's the chair of the board of the Chicago Zoological Society, as she has chaired almost every organization in this city at one time or another. It's really incredible the amount of service that Cheryl has given back, in addition to all the great business she does and the people she has employed and great things she's done for Chicago. So I mention her at the end because you're going to hear from her at the end. We're going to ask Cheryl to come up here and wrap up with a few thoughts as the chair of the board and perhaps entertain a question or two if that works out. So please get your questions ready. And Cheryl is going to, we're going to put her to work because she's so good up on this podium. So thank you, Cheryl. Thank you, especially as I mentioned, I saved one of our other best for last, because she's also going to grace this fine podium, this fine stage here. And she's a big, great friend of the City Club of Chicago and an elected official here in Cook County, and has done so much over so many years and with so many different leaders on the state, city, and then there's been the steady county leadership. And here we have the president of Cook County. Thank you, Madam President. It's going to open us up, President Tony Preckwinkle. Welcome back to City Club, Madam President. Of course. Thank you. No sneak peeks at the slides that are coming.
All right. Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you, Dan, for that kind introduction. It's my honor to be here today to introduce a true champion of wildlife and a leader in conservation, Dr. Michael Atkison. You know, our Forest Preserve District in Cook County encompasses about 70,000 acres. It's one of the largest in the country. It's 10% of our land area. It's prairies, woodlands, wetlands, and savannas. And it's also a couple of cultural institutions, the Chicago Botanic Garden and the Brookfield Zoo. The Brookfield Zoo spans 235 acres within the Forest Preserves and has been our proud partner for more than a century. Together, we've inspired generations of Cook County residents to connect with nature, learn about wildlife, and care deeply about conservation. Our partnership is more than symbolic. Our teams work hand in hand. We monitor the health of local fish, birds, and mammals. Throughout the Forest Preserves, we try to encourage people to care about the natural environment and, of course, the animals that live within it. The Forest Preserves has a Nature Express bus, which takes people from not-for-profit groups around the county to the zoo for free. Our volunteers collaborate on ecological restoration projects, helping to reconnect our communities to nature in meaningful and tangible ways. As president and CEO of the Brookfield Zoo, Dr. Mike, as folks call him, is leading an exciting transformation through a next century plan, a visionary roadmap to reimagine the zoo's campus, expand its conservation impact, and inspire future generations. The zoo's next century plan aligns with our own Forest Preserve's next century conservation plan. Together, these complementary visions reinforce our shared mission, restoring habitats, protecting biodiversity, and ensuring that all Cook County residents have equitable access to nature for generations to come. We're proud to continue this work with Dr. Mike and Board Chair Cheryl Thomas. Thank you, Cheryl, for all your help and support over the years. I'm grateful. Yeah, another round of applause. That's good. And, you know, I was just, I've been to the zoo twice in the last week, once with my grandchildren and once for a sort of celebration of contributors to the Jim and Betsy Bramson Tropical Forest exhibit, which is monkeys, orangs, and gorillas. I encourage you to go. It's wonderful. And if you were there and over the many years when the tropical exhibit was sort of this funky enclosed place, you will love the new exhibit. You will love the new exhibit. So thank you all for being here and joining this important conversation. And please welcome Dr. Mike.
All right. Well, thank you, Madam President. Thank you, Dan. Thank you to the City Club of Chicago for allowing me the opportunity to speak today. I hope that the photos now live up to the buildup that they've been getting here. But it's truly an honor to be among so many of our city's great leaders today and to be able to share a little bit about Brookfield Zoo Chicago and the incredible work that we're doing as we work to strengthen the future of our region and its people. I'd like to start out today by just sharing a little bit about who we are. While some of those that live in the city may think Brookfield Zoo Chicago is so far west that it may as well be in Iowa, we are actually just 14 miles from the Loop. That is the same distance from the Griffin Museum to Wrigley Field or from Jackson Park to Montrose Beach. As you can see from this photo from the top of our Ferris wheel, we are really not that far away from the city. Since opening our gates in 1934 on 235 acres of land from the Forest Preserves of Cook County, the world-famous Brookfield Zoo Chicago has grown to become one of our nation's most iconic conservation institutions. We are home to thousands of animals that represent hundreds of different species from all around the world, including some of the Earth's most endangered wildlife, like this Amur leopard, of which there are only 100 remaining in the world. Our animals are cared for by incredible, dedicated, skilled professionals who assure that our animals' welfare and our animals' well-being always remain our North Star. We are accredited by the Association of Zoos and Aquariums, the Alliance of Marine Mammal Parks and Aquariums, and we undergo a rigorous third-party welfare certification by the American Humane Society, who is best known for their Hallmark certification program that guarantees no animals were harmed in the making of this motion picture. Our animals' well-being is also overseen by a team of 9 veterinarians who work from our state-of-the-art animal hospital, providing medical care that exceeds what most of us give to our pets and what billions of people around the planet actually receive in terms of health care. And I take pride in saying that our animals are happy. And I can show you that with photos, but I can also prove that to you with the work and the data and the science from our PhD-level animal welfare scientists who make it their mission to ensure that the psychological and welfare needs of our animals are being met from dolphins to sharks. But we are truly more than a zoo. We are a globally recognized leader in conservation and influencing people's actions to conserve wildlife and value nature. Our mission guides our every encounter that we produce, every program that we lead, and every partnership that we build. Whether through our educational outreach, our science, or our unforgettable guest experiences, we try to move people from a point of awareness to a point of action. Each year, we welcome 2 million guests to our zoo, including hundreds of thousands of students via programs and field trips, to summer camps that help to instill a love of nature in the next generation. Brookfield Zoo Chicago also plays a pivotal economic role within our region, contributing more than $160 million annually to the local economy, with a $78 million annual operating budget and more than 1,100 staff employed at the zoo. We are proud to be both a community asset as well as an economic engine. The 25,000 hours that our volunteers provide annually and the 115,000 member households throughout Chicagoland reflect that deep and enduring support that we enjoy across Chicago. Our economic impact is enormous, as well as the impact that we have on our citizens. Accredited zoos and aquariums play a pivotal role in conservation, education, and public engagement. Here in Chicago, between Brookfield Zoo Chicago, Shedd Aquarium, and Lincoln Park Zoo, together we welcome over 7 million visits last year. Those 7 million guests are more than every sports fan who attended a Cubs, White Sox, Bears, Bulls, and Blackhawks game combined last year. That's the size of impact that we're able to have. In 2024, our zoo turned 90 years old, which is no small feat for any organization. And the origin of the zoo was in part thanks to a gift from Edith Rockefeller McCormick, the daughter of business magnate John D. Rockefeller. A philanthropist herself, Edith donated the land to the forest preserves upon which the zoo sits in 1919 to create a modern zoological park that was based on the barless zoos and moated exhibits and rock grottos that she had seen in modern European zoos at the time. In 1921, the Chicago Zoological Society was founded to support the zoo, and in 1922, Dan Ryan himself turned over that first shovel full of dirt to groundbreak for the Chicago Zoological Park. Edith's generosity helped establish a zoo that today generations of Chicago residents know and love. It's a piece of the fabric of Chicago. And although Edith likely never imagined the impact that our zoo would have on protecting wildlife or preserving endangered species, or in 1923 even to be able to think that species would be endangered, I think Edith knew that animals had a power to spark a connection and bring out the best in people and create empathy. And today, I dare say that our organization continues to age with grace and sophistication, and that I can assure you that all of the memories that we all have of hanging out with the goats in the goat yard are still there and still part of our zoo. Our story today at Brookfield Zoo is rooted in a very simple yet powerful mantra: connect, care, conserve. And that's not just the tagline that we use. It truly encapsulates our mission. It's about how we change hearts and minds to save species and to protect our planet. And today I'm going to walk you through what that journey looks like. Our work always begins with that first spark, that moment of connection between a person and an animal. And it's through that moment of connection that we can move people to that point of caring, where we can inspire empathy and we can produce action. And from there, it's that shared responsibility that we create to conserve wildlife and wild places. So starting with Connect, one of the things that I have always loved about zoos and aquariums is that they are really universally loved. In our increasingly divided and polarized society, where it's hard to find common ground on anything, it seems, zoos really do provide a shared space where people can come together from all backgrounds and they can connect with animals, wildlife, and nature. And, you know, really, who doesn't love staring at a giraffe? That's something we can all agree is a magical experience. And it's that level of engagement that speaks volumes about our deep human desire to connect with animals and to connect with the natural world. And it also underscores the unique power that our institutions have across multiple generations and communities. In total, Brookfield Zoo Chicago has now welcomed 163 million people since our guest opened in July of 1934. And I periodically reflect on the legacy that's encapsulated in that 163 million people who have enjoyed our beloved zoo, who have walked across our lawns, who have shared a day with loved ones and family, and who have laughed together and stared in awe at our wildlife. And these visits span all seasons, from our Hispanic Heritage Festival to our winter holiday magic. They span from Día de los Muertos to our Halloween events, which undoubtedly always bring about some of the most amazing photos that you can imagine. I always joke that this would be like a giraffe dressed as a person knocking on your door delivering your salad. It's a really kind of unique situation we run into there with Halloween. Our Zoo After Dark events and our Roaring Nights concerts in the summertime transform evenings at the zoo into a shared celebration that uses music as a bridge to bring new audiences in, with sold-out performances and a shared space where people can see the zoo in a whole new light. And whether it's one of these special events or one of these magical days, or it's just a regular day at the zoo for a father and a daughter who are learning about honeybees in our Hamel Family Play Zoo, it's these visits where those connections are truly made and that we really have the opportunity to captivate and inspire. We see this come to life every day in the incredible animals that we have at the zoo. And for instance, this past year, Willem and Brumby koalas captivated the hearts and minds of our guests as koalas graced our zoo for the first time in 90 years. And they prompted countless conversations about the importance of habitat conservation and protecting wildlife. And they really prove that sometimes an animal that sleeps for 22 hours a day can still be a powerful ambassador for their counterparts in the wild if they're cute enough. Over the course of the year, we welcome an incredible array of new arrivals to the zoo every year. And this past year, we saw the birth of a Grevy zebra foal, later named Robin after the lead singer of Gin Blossoms, since the foal was born just a couple minutes before that concert kicked off. We welcomed three new American flamingo chicks to the zoo, to our growing flamboyance that adorns our formal pool and delights our guests with walks through the zoo every day. And flamboyance is the actual word for a group of flamingos, so file that one away for your next trivia night. And we welcomed Mikey, a gray seal pup who was born to parents that stranded in the wild and were non-releasable due to their injuries. And this pup's visually impaired mother, Georgie, has thrived under human care and cared for this pup with that unwavering instinct that you would expect. And at the other end of the spectrum, we also celebrated milestones, like Lucky, our dolphin, who celebrated his 50th birthday this year. A survivor of a fishing net entanglement and a stranding as a calf, he has gone on to now be a survivor of cancer as an adult. He continues to inspire, and he's living proof of that connection between people and wildlife. And then there was Adelaide the echidna, who celebrated her 56th birthday this year as the oldest animal at Brookfield Zoo Chicago. And that birthday went viral on Instagram, reaching over 1.4 million people. And in truly perfect and ironic timing, Adelaide celebrated that birthday with the birth of a new baby this year. God help her at 56. Her second puggle, as the babies are called, is only the second ever birth of an echidna that we've had at Brookfield Zoo. And this is a really unique egg-laying mammal whose closest living relative is the duck-billed platypus. And they really serve as a reminder that nature will always find a way to amaze us. But each of these stories reminds us that our animals in our care forge these incredible connections with our guests and our friends. And they are the opportunity for us to engage new supporters and new audiences. And they are also our most powerful opportunity to engage with the detractors who see no role for zoos in modern society. And to those that doubt the value of zoos in today's world, I remind them that even in the United States, even in the richest country in the world, we know that most people are never going to see a leopard on the Serengeti. They are never going to encounter a tiger in a forest in India. They are never going to scuba dive on the Great Barrier Reef. And they are probably never even going to snorkel with a dolphin in Florida. But our beloved zoo can create those moments that approximate and approach those experiences, and they can allow our animals to make those connections with their wild counterparts and the people who have a role in protecting them. In order for us to succeed at that mission, though, we need to move people from that point of connection to the point of caring. And that's the challenge that we're facing right now, is that it seems like everywhere we turn, there's another crisis screaming for our attention. And even in this time of sensationalized media, we may be perhaps blind to the biggest problem ever facing humans on our planet. Today, our Earth is imperiled like it has never been before, as humans continue to alter the landscape and face of our planet with stunning efficiency and incredible impact. We face a dual threat of biodiversity loss, the loss of species, and climate change with the resulting loss of wild habitats around the globe. At Brookfield Zoo, this is what motivates our work every day. Over the past 50 years, wildlife populations around the globe have plummeted by 73%. Or put differently, we have lost 3/4 of the wildlife on our planet in the last half century. Humans directly and indirectly via our livestock have fundamentally changed the planet over the past 10,000 years on a scale so great that we are now in the middle of the sixth great extinction of our doing. 40% of all the land on this planet has been converted for human food consumption, production, and consumption. Extinction rates are occurring now between 1 and 10,000 times faster than natural rates, and they're climbing ever faster, with 28% of all assessed species now being threatened with extinction. This is the challenge that zoos and conservation organizations are racing to work through to preserve and protect those remaining populations. For every animal like the California condor, black-footed ferret, American bison, Mexican gray wolf that zoos have been instrumental in saving, there are thousands of other species in dire need of our support. Collectively, the impacts that we're having on this planet are leading to ecosystem collapse that spans all of our continents and all of our oceans. Human-made mass now exceeds all living biomass on the planet, or put more poignantly, human-made stuff now outweighs all animal life on the planet. Measured in gigatons, there are now twice as much plastic on this planet as there is animal life. There are more buildings and infrastructure on the planet by weight than there are trees and shrubs. And despite all of our conservation efforts, every year more than 8 million pieces of plastic still find their way into our oceans every single day, joining the 150 million metric tons of plastic within our water systems. Fundamental changes are needed in how humans interact with our planet, and zoos are better suited than most other public organizations to share those messages. But our challenge right now, and perhaps the biggest one we face, is that we are experiencing a global disconnect from nature. Time spent outdoors right now exploring the world has declined dramatically due to lack of access to green spaces, ever-present digital technology, and parents' fear of unsupervised play with kids outside. A recent study found that 1/3 of children spend less than 30 minutes outside each day. 1 in 2 children is outside for less than an hour a day. Put differently, children today spend less time outside than the UN recommended minimum for prison inmates, who are provided an hour of outdoor time for their well-being. Time in nature is declining at the worst possible time in human history. If we choose to view nature only through our screens digitally, how are we ever going to expect our kids to be able to learn to feel it? How do we motivate adults to care about wildlife on our planet if this is the only view they're seeing? Zoos like Brookfield Zoo play a critical role in getting kids outside and being part of the solution out into nature. Through our Zoo for All philosophy, we ensure access and inclusion for seniors, for veterans, guests with disabilities, underserved communities, underrepresented people. from narrated tours for seniors to income scholarships, income-based scholarships for our Zoo Camp program, we are making sure that access is not a privilege but a right here in Chicago. Last year, we distributed over 148,000 community free passes to partners, and an additional 140,000 Illinois school children visited the zoo for free. We also continue to grow our education programs, like our multi-million dollar investment in our King Conservation Leadership Academy, a suite of programs that nurtures young kids to build skills, knowledge, and confidence, all while focusing on wildlife and nature. Zoos also offer accessible, high-quality nature experiences for millions, especially those in urban communities. And these moments aren't just about fun. They are formative, and they are essential to helping people care. Over 700 million people, 10% of the world's population, will visit a zoo or aquarium each year. And if we can grow that number and we can bring those people to a point of empathy and caring, we can truly change the world. And that brings me to conserve. Zoos are a crucial part of conservation. The International Union for the Conservation of Nature is the global leading authority on the status of our natural world and the status of the animals that call it home and the measures that we need to safeguard it. In 2023, the IUCN issued a pivotal statement formally recognizing the crucial roles that zoos, botanic gardens, and aquariums play in species conservation, bridging in situ and ex situ conservation programs. And they emphasize that the role of zoos is, quote, often undervalued, underrecognized, and misunderstood. At Brookfield Zoo Chicago, we are proud of our work within the Association of Zoos and Aquariums SAFE program, or Saving Animals from Extinction, where we have made a strong commitment to numerous species, from bison to turtles to orangutans to red siskins. And these partnerships are not just about strategy and survival and collaboration. They're about making tangible impacts. Together, AZA members over the last 5 years have invested over $1 billion into wildlife conservation around our planet. At Brookfield Zoo Chicago, we are also proud of our 38-year-old Wildlife Conservation and Endangered Species Fund that last year supported 19 conservation programs in 11 different countries, ranging from elephants in Zambia to pangolins in Nepal. We are most proud, though, of our own conservation programs that we lead that put our expert staff into action to directly save wildlife in wild places. And I could talk for hours about these programs, but instead I'm just going to give you a snapshot and a few highlights. Our teams recently celebrated the reintroduction of a guan kingfisher back into the wild. This species has been extinct in the wild since the 1980s. In partnership with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, our zoo is home to 18 kingfishers now, 20% of the entire global population. And last year, a bird that hatched at Brookfield Zoo named Zasas was one of the first birds released back into the wild on the Palmyra Atoll, a symbol of hope that has truly been a decade in the making. For decades, we've also worked with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service on our Mexican gray wolf recovery program. Also, once extinct in the wild, Mexican gray wolves now range freely in Arizona and New Mexico. And last year, 7 pups that were born at Brookfield Zoo were released back into the wild as one of the most successful rewilding programs in North America. In Florida, Brookfield Zoo Chicago operates our Sarasota Dolphin Research Program. Now in its 55th year, our team of 10 scientists and staff run the longest-running field program studying dolphins anywhere in the globe. Last year, that team was involved in 48 funded projects that protect dolphins through conservation research, education, and conservation topics. Data and samples from these animals in Sarasota Bay span generations of dolphins in the wild, allowing research on everything from environmental pollution to red tides to microplastics to foraging ecology to disease impacts and shark interactions. Our team also continues to push the frontiers of dolphin science with our work in the Gulf of Mexico on the West Florida Shelf. 30 miles offshore into the Gulf, our team has developed custom-made equipment that allow them to place biologging and satellite tags onto dolphins while they're free-ranging in the wild. And these are some of the first and only tags ever deployed on Atlantic spotted dolphins, looking at them as sentinels of ocean and ecosystem health. And just earlier this month, our team placed some of the first tags ever placed on spinner dolphins off the coast of Hawaii, doing the same type of work. Globally, our work in marine mammals also encompasses 20 years of work in Punta San Juan, Peru, looking at penguins, fur seals, and sea lions, populations that right now are trying to recover from the double impact of a terrible El Nino event and the avian influenza outbreak that has gone around the globe. It's a recovery that's going to take years, if not decades, to see these populations bounce back. But despite these challenges, our teams are more motivated than ever to protect these species. And shifting from pangolins in Peru to pangolins in Africa, how many of you even knew this little adorable pinecone creature existed before today? Can I see some hands? That's good. There's some hands up in the room. 5 years ago, I think if we'd asked that question, most of you would not have known this animal. A decade ago, Brookfield Zoo Chicago began leading U.S. efforts to protect and understand this poorly understood species that increasingly needs our protection. Pangolins are the most trafficked animal in the global wildlife trade right now, with all eight species being driven to extinction through illegal poaching. Our zoo is the only place in the Western Hemisphere where people can see a living pangolin. We co-founded the North American Pangolin Consortium with other leading zoos to take on work with pangolins to try and understand better their natural behaviors, the veterinary science, the research efforts around conservation, all with the goal of protecting wild populations. And today, our population of pangolins in the zoo is now in its second generation of offspring from that original founder population. And closer to home, I mentioned earlier, and President gave us a wonderful preview of the partnership between the zoo and the forest preserves of Cook County. For over 100 years, we have worked together to protect natural spaces and local wildlife right here in Cook County. With 10% of Cook County protected within the forest preserves, it's one of our most prized assets, and it's critical that we keep that resource for generations to come and protect the wildlife that live in the preserves. Together with the University of Illinois and the preserves, Brookfield Zoo Chicago supports a wildlife medicine training program, a truly one-of-a-kind program that attracts applicants from around the globe. It's all in an effort to collaborate on projects that range from critical research on turtle health that focus on endangered species like Blanding's turtles here in Chicago, to projects with osprey and river otters as their populations rebound into Cook County. Each of these actions that we talk about, each of these lives that we impact, each of these animals that we touch, every system that we leave improved is a step towards a better planet. And that's what we're all about at Brookfield Zoo Chicago. Connect, care, conserve. In closing, I believe that our future is very bright. And just 12 days ago, we opened the James and Elizabeth Bramson Tropical Forest Project, a monumental new habitat for our gorillas, orangutans, and monkeys. It started with a bold vision 3 years ago, a future for these animals that would include them being outside with the sun on their faces, the wind in their hair, and the grass under their feet. And that vision led to the design of Bramson Tropical Forest, a project that includes grand habitats, immersive environments, and state-of-the-art animal care facilities for these incredible animals. It's a vision that we knew would turn heads about what was happening at Brookfield Zoo Chicago. And I'm incredibly proud to say that our team has delivered this project, the largest in Brookfield Zoo's history, a $66 million investment in our future, on time and on budget. Supporting over 300 jobs annually with $70 million in labor income, $24 million in tax revenue, and over $182 million in economic activity, it's a project that has ripples throughout our communities. And it makes a profound statement about what we are working to achieve at Brookfield Zoo Chicago, a true renaissance for our zoo. It's more than a building and habitats, it's a statement about what modern zoos can be. With 2,700 square feet of glass viewing space, it provides those up-close encounters and personal connections for our guests. It's a project about the future that we want for our animals. And it's also an opportunity to bring together all of the things that I've shared with you today, the importance of education, our outreach into communities, and the conservation impacts that we can have as an organization, all told through the integration of our King Conservation Leadership Academy that shines prominently on the second story of our Gorilla Conservation Center. But we are just getting started as an organization. Bramson Tropical Forest is the capstone to the first phase of our Next Century Plan. Released last year, this 15-year roadmap will guide our future. Doubling the animal experience footprint within our 235 acres, it's a bold future vision that will feature immersive habitats that transport guests around the world as we illustrate the interconnectedness between humans and nature. The plan will introduce dynamics mixed species habitats modeled after 14 ecosystems around the world. We want Brookfield Zoo Chicago to magnify the city's image and build on the economic and social gravitas that Chicago wields. It's our commitment to you and to our animals and to Chicago to make Brookfield Zoo Chicago the best zoo we can be. Over the past 3 years, we have invested $93 million into the zoo. Boosted by $20 million of support from the state of Illinois this year, we are investing $30 million more into the zoo's infrastructure, exhibits, facilities, and guest experiences. As we wrap up Bramson Tropical Forest, we already are hard at work on what comes next with Gateway to Africa, a multi-phase project that will remake 35 acres of the zoo's northwest quadrant into an African trek through savannas and grasslands. And we are truly blessed with the space to grow and a beautiful tapestry to work with in terms of the landscape that we have to build upon. And as we move designs forward, I hope you'll join us in creating that vision. I want you to picture a zoo where you feel transported to the African savanna, where your view actually can extend to the horizon as you watch the sun set. And in front of that, you'll see giraffes, kudu, nyala, ostrich, eland, gazelle, and all of these animals together across a large, open, expansive habitat. You'll hear elephants trumpet, and you'll see them lingering by a waterhole. Elephants are a species that Chicagoans have not had in our city for over 15 years, yet there's not a day goes by that someone doesn't stop and ask us on grounds where our elephants are at. We are planning a dynamic and innovative habitat design for elephants that is over 20 times larger than what our elephants previously had at the zoo, a space that will be among the most dynamic, the largest, and the most innovative of any zoo, with plenty of room for these incredible animals to roam. We believe passionately that every child in the state of Illinois deserves an opportunity to see a real elephant and connect with these magnificent creatures. Our plans will remake our 1930s pachyderm building and blow fresh life back into it, creating an atrium where we can share conservation stories about the work the zoo does around the globe. And to the north, you'll gaze out this beautiful, expansive glass wall over a savanna that's teeming with wildlife. To the south, we'll welcome back Nile hippos and crocodiles, two more species that have been absent from Illinois for far too long, and we'll give guests the chance to see these incredible animals underwater in a whole new way. We'll be revealing more about this plan as we continue to progress with plans for everything from rhinos to cheetahs, but I'll leave you with a vision that sees a new home for our iconic male lions, Brutus and Titus, perched atop a rocky kopje looking over the entire savanna. But none of this happens without all of us, and we need Chicago to truly lean in on this project. I frequently remind people that the entirety of Brookfield Zoo's 235 acres was built between 1922 and 1934 in the middle of the Great Depression. And together, we can reinvigorate the zoo in the 15 years ahead to be everything we dream it to be. It can be part of the drive that truly elevates Chicago to the world and makes us a world-class city and destination. So as our city's civic leaders, corporate citizens, community leaders, partners, foundations, philanthropists, we want you to be part of this with us and to make this mission real. You make our stories possible, you make our animals matter, and you truly make our future a reality. So thank you for not just helping us to achieve everything that we've achieved to date, but for walking step by step with us into the future. Connect, care, conserve, and we can truly change the world. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you all for being here. I just wanted to make two comments before we close, and we have a little surprise here for people. One, we couldn't do this without all of you, our generous supporters and donors, but I have to give a special shout out to President Preckwinkle, whom we were in a little bit of a tight and we needed more funds, and she absolutely stepped up and helped us to secure more funds so we could do what we did. We are so grateful for the partnership of the Forest Preserve District, and we're so grateful for the support of President Preckwinkle. And then the other thing I would want to say off script is, when Dr. Mike says how kids used to connect with nature, I just remember in the summers you were told, be home before the street lights come on. you know, and we were all out there in the parks, and we ran around our neighborhoods, and we had fireflies and worms and all the things that we did. And now kids don't experience that themselves in nature, and I hope we get back to that time. Again, I want to thank Dr. Mike for his leadership and vision. Your energy is not accelerating the future of Brookfield, Chicago, but of the entire city and the region. Under your direction, the zoo is not evolving. It's boldly stepping into the next century with clarity, with confidence, and with purpose. That's why I continue to be humbled and so proud that I am part of this organization, because of the investment that the people there have. The keepers are just outstanding in what they do and the love for the animals. When we were redoing the dolphin aquarium, the keepers went with the dolphins to Minnesota, where they were housed for the time that we were redoing the aquarium. They lived up there with them. That shows you the kind of dedication that our keepers have, and I think sometimes they get forgotten, and I never want to forget their support and the support of our board, who is here as well. And I will leave you with some moments, with just a moment of all comments that I get so excited about this. The opening of Bramson Tropical Forest, it is amazing. Please come out and experience it. It's just fantastic, and it's only our beginning. And with that, I thank you, and I think that we have one more thing to go.
Thank you, Dr. Mike, and thank you, Cheryl Thomas. It's City Club tradition. We don't like to leave without seeing if anyone has any questions, and I'm going to put some pressure on because there's an added bonus here. But does anyone have a question for Dr. Mike? And I have a microphone. Oh, very good. I'm going to pass this back to you so we can hear you and make sure it works. And we've got we've got an audience online, so I'm going to ask you to introduce yourself and speak into the microphone.
Yeah, I'm John Hammerschlag. To what extent do you rely on federal funding, and to what extent are you vulnerable to losing those funds?
Yeah, that's a great question. The biggest impact that we've felt is off of the Institute for Museum and Library Services grant. So that's been a consistent source of funding for us for very focused project funding, usually 1 to 2 grants a year out of that cycle. So we had several grants canceled, and just the future loss of that funding moving forward is definitely a big impact for us.
Any other questions here, Jeff?
Josh Hale, Big Shoals Fund, fantastic presentation, and under your leadership, we're in a good place. This is just curiosity more than anything. So you talked about the reintroduction of so many different species. I was just curious, how do you prepare different animals to go back into their species? How do they, you know, adjust to not being fed by hand and everything else?
Yeah, it's a wonderful question. I'll use the Mexican gray wolves as an example. So that's a species that we actually manage very hands-off. So we do everything we can to sort of minimize a potential situation where they're bonded or not scared of people. So we work them in a very hands-off way. They're never directly fed by a person. They're not in a situation where they're close to people. We really try and keep them as wild as possible to make that acclimation back into the wild as smooth as possible.
Does anyone else have a question before I come back? Because now I have a question for you all, if you'll stay here for a moment. and you were so kind to bring a gift for us to share. So I'm going to turn the tables and ask who learned something. And I'm sorry, you can't be affiliated with the zoo. So you can't work for or be on the board of or a direct spouse or... Who learned something today? And I feel like President Preckwinkle here. And you were the first. There were a few hands. I'm going to go straight back beyond Brenda, who, because you beat us. You beat Brenda to it. What did you learn today that you didn't know before you came here at City Club? I'll come back so you can. So our online audience can hear you.
I learned about our very mature echidna who's a new mother.
All right. So you always learn something here at City Club. Thank you for that. And actually, if you don't mind coming up, we have a gift for you from the zoo. So thank you, Dr. Mike, for bringing, and Andrea and your team for bringing this fine gift. I'll let you present that. And as they're doing that, come on up, Cheryl, please. As they're doing that, see, it's so much fun to come to City Club. Let's do a quick photo. Why don't you guys do a photo while I You never know what you're going to get at City Club. So thank you for the question, or for the answer, actually. Thank you, Dr. Mike. Thank you, Cheryl. As you see, there's so many interesting things that we are discussing here at City Club and broadening our horizons, and there's so much more to come. So we look forward to seeing all of you back here. And I'm just going to run through a few upcoming programs, and we're scheduling farther out now for those regulars. Adele, you and some others may see that we're helping you plan out the next couple of months. We've got Congressman Raj Krishnamoorthian, Raja, on August 5th. We've got Chicago's fiscal framework with the city CFO and the city's budget director on August 12th, with enough time before budget season so they can get some input and ideas. A watershed moment, Friends of the Shedd Aquarium, August 20th. Congressman Mike Quigley is going to share some insights on August 28th. Uniting for a Cure, Chicago's bold new model to transform breast cancer research, with Lynn Sage and a number of hospitals that are part of that consortium, including Rush, Bob, as you know. That's September 2nd. How We Heal, Building Connection and Solidarity in Divided Times, is September 8th. And finally, Cook County Sheriff Tom Dart is September 23rd, has some very interesting things to share. We're going to add to that as we go, but I wanted to share that schedule coming up because it's a great reflection of the diversity of programs that we have here at City Club, and we do that because of you all and your ideas and your partnership and your membership and your support, and it's very much appreciated. It's your club. Please come back soon. Thank you again to the Brookfield Zoo. Everybody get out to the zoo this summer and enjoy it. Get out to our other fine institutions and have a great rest of this beautiful week in Chicago. Thank you.